This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a returning guest, and I'm super excited to have him back on the show because I think they turned the corner. And we're talking no other than Fernando Oswaldo Lianzo. He's the chairman and CEO of Hispanica International Delights. He has 17 years of food experience in the industry. His CFO has another 17 years. Everybody in his top management positions on his team have over 15 years experience. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol HISP. Fernando, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here again. It's always a pleasure.
Give my listeners a little bit of an about statement of who you guys are and what you do, and then we'll get into the Q&A.
Sure. So our company, Hispanica, as we are normally known as, we are a company based here in New York where we started off a couple of years ago as a distribution business of ethnic or Hispanic food items, if you will. We developed a network of distributors that we sell to primarily in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic. But over the last 12 to 18 months, our business has really shifted its dynamic from a distribution business into what's mostly called an accelerator, a brand accelerator business. And what I mean by that is that our business is, for all intents and purposes, we're not really just a distribution business. Our infrastructure is set up for distribution, so that gave us the advantage to set the infrastructure, if you will, to allow us to then seek out over the past, say, 9 to 10, 12 months, we have sought out a brand that we felt that we could participate either by way of having an equity stake in them with an option to either outright purchase the brands, have licensing arrangements with, and these are brands that obviously we're excited about. We're going to be making major announcements over the next couple of weeks and months about what the brands are, and obviously how we're going to be inserting them into our infrastructure, if you will, and hence the reasoning for the model shift, if you will, of our business from a distribution business into a what's called a brand accelerator company.
You know, I want to know, what is the main focus of your business? Is it distribution business or other?
We have a distribution component in it, but that's not the main focus of our business. The main focus of our business now is that we have a handful, a small number of brands that are in this beverage and snack category, in which we have worked out arrangements and deals where we can participate from an equity standpoint to have these brands under our belt, our own brands, if you will, and begin to insert them into our infrastructure of distribution. So in other words, on the East Coast, right now, currently, we sell to other wholesalers, other DSDs, as it's called. On the West Coast, we have our own DSD operations, which is the acquisition that we purchased last year called Energy Source. And by way of having this infrastructure in place, we can take very small brands that are mostly regional in nature, brands that are doing, you know, relatively small number in revenues, but really exponentially grow them in a much faster pace, and also from in a profitable arrangement, if you will, by having them expand into our distribution channels. This is really the main focus of our business. This is what we have always envisioned we would become, which is a branded business company, a company that owns brands in the snack and beverage space. And of course, as most people who follow this industry will know, that the true value, if you will, comes from owning these brands. Once these brands get to a certain threshold in revenues and distribution, then the value of those brands are far greater than what could be perceived or conceived, if you will, from just a distribution platform. So our business has really shifted from a distribution to a brand accelerator business.
You know, I do want to take time out and bring it to the forefront of my listeners. What is the current status of the company in regards of revenues and growth? And where do you see the company going in terms of organic growth from here?
Sure. Thanks for the question. Basically, I have mentioned this before, I believe, in our last interview and certainly in subsequent press releases. our quarter that we reported, our third quarter that we had reported that ended on February 28th, for all intents and purposes, where we did about a little under $500,000 in revenues for the quarter, that, from our perspective, signified the lowest point of sales and revenues since the acquisition of our business that we made last year. And the main reason for that was beyond just seasonality purposes, we were out of production and of sales, if you will, of our flagship product, the Grand Nevada brand, and its Horchata de Moro that we sell primarily on the East Coast. Without having that in there, it did impact us negatively, our sales for that quarter. Now, having said that, we're happy to report that as of the May, the end of May, we were back on track with the new manufacturing partner that has allowed us to significantly ramp up production, as well as help us with our increasing our margins. The quarter that ended our fiscal year, in other words, May 31st, which obviously will be reported in the 10-K, we feel very confident that we're right back on track where we needed to be. Having said that, this summer, our sales of our flagship product are really on pace to, or better yet, are on track to outpace anything that we've ever done before. And of course, we'll be looking forward to be able to release that when the quarters come. But like I said, the third quarter for us, which ended May, February 28th, is our lowest quarter, and I think that in these subsequent next two quarters, the fourth quarter that ended our fiscal year and our fiscal first quarter, which we're in right now, our fiscal 2018 year, we are really accelerating our sales and revenues growth beyond anything that we've done in the past.
Now, if you've added some new management to your team, one person I'm particularly interested in, if you might be able to give us a little bit of background, I think you brought him into R&D, is Dr. Eric Chang?
Yes, that's correct. Dr. Chang has been very helpful. He's a longtime veteran of the industry, especially in the dairy space. He's worked with Fortune 500 food manufacturers for many, many years, brought a tremendous amount of expertise to help us in development of our flagship products, working with our new contract packager. And that has been a key component in being able to allow us to manufacture our products with the same level of standards and quality that we've had before, but do so in a manner that allows us to increase our margins significantly. And this is really the going back to our brand accelerator model, having our own brands and giving us the margin necessary that we need, basically from an operational standpoint, it's a no-brainer. We were obtaining margin levels, if you will, on our own products far greater than we would if we were just simply a distribution business selling third-party products. So I think this will all be related and revealed, if you will, in the subsequent Qs and Ks that we're going to come out with, so that people can actually see how these margins have helped impact our bottom line as well as our top line revenues. Like I said, far greater than we've done in the past.
Fernando, I'd like to change gears here for a second. A lot of people didn't know this, and I surely didn't know this until I started doing some research on your company. You guys filed an S-1 reg statement to go public. A lot of people usually buy a shell or something like that. Can you tell us how you went about that and why did you guys go that route?
Sure. So from day one, when we became public, we went public by a way. In fact, we've actually filed two S-1s. The first one was when we went public. We just simply felt that it was better to go through the process from scratch to understand what would it take from not only a regulatory standpoint, but from an accounting point of view, what it would be necessary to be compliant with the regulatory environments of being a public company. So we obviously are current with our financials, our Qs, our filings. We felt that it was best to be able to know where, every share was issued to whom and so forth, and not have to deal with any sort of past legacies of things that we were not involved with. So we obviously opted to go that route, to go public, as opposed to reversing ourselves into some sort of existing company. Having said that, we filed another registration statement recently in regarding to a financing that we did last year. That went through without a hitch. We're happy to announce. And so, we're getting We're very good, I think, from a management and certainly from a corporate governance standpoint, to know that we need to keep our compliance issues in order, and as far as our accounting and so forth. So in that sense, that's why we did it that way.
What is your current float of your stock right now?
Our current float is approximately 5.2 million shares. Total issued and outstanding is slightly under 19. So as it currently stands, yes, our float is about 5.2 million, or approximately a quarter of the total issued and outstanding.
Yeah, that gives you a market cap around $1.4 million if your stock price around 8 cents. That seems very, very undervalued.
Correct.
And the reason why I'm asking you that, what should investors who own or are listening to this program or thinking about buying HISP, what can they look for in near terms in regards of any potential catalysts in the near future?
Sure, thank you. Basically, I think two things. Number one, once investors can see a path for us both in increasing top-line revenues from anything that we've done in the past, and even after we acquired the business last year, once they start seeing comparisons from year to year, from quarter to quarter, much or less quarter of a previous year versus the quarter of this year's current year, they will start to see that, yes, from a valuation standpoint, the market cap is, in our opinion, of course, is far less than what the company does in revenues as a whole. Secondly, I think that the notion that we can sort of like explain this to the public, that we are in the brand building business. Our primary business is to own our own brands, and that's what we're attempting and to do, and obviously working on having these brands proprietary to Hispanica. I think at that moment in time, the valuation, if done correctly, as far as with peer companies or companies in our industry, in our space, then I guess that we believe that should help cure that the issue of the misperception that we're some type of just distribution operation or distribution business. We're in the brand building business. We're in a brand accelerator company. And when the time comes and people will match the two, the revenues plus what these brands could mean in terms of value, then the marketplace will look at us differently than they are currently.
Hispanica International Delights of America Inc. is the company that we're highlighting today on Stock Day. With us is the CEO and Chairman Fernando Oswaldo Leonzo. He is the CEO and chairman. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol HISP. In closing, Fernando, is there anything that you would like to get out to my listeners that maybe we didn't have a chance to touch upon?
Yeah, I think that I would like your listeners to keep an eye on the developments that, like I said, we've been working on for quite some time. And obviously to be aware of that, as we rebrand ourselves to some degree to make the public understand that we are a branded business, a branded company, if you will, to look for upcoming developments and news and so forth, so they can keep track of our progress, certainly from a revenues and growth standpoint, so that they can see for themselves how we're progressing on a quarter-to-quarter basis, both in top-line revenues and even on the bottom line. So I think that's going to be important. And when they peg it to the amount of shares that we have from a valuation standpoint, I think it's a compelling reason to keep an eye on our company.
You said that very well, and I agree with you 100%. I believe your stock is undervalued. I think shareholders who own the stock should probably pick some more up. And if you don't own the stock, take a look at HISP. They're a growing company. I think they're going to knock it out of the park here in the next two or three quarters. And this is a good entry point. Fernando, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know you're a very busy guy out there in New York. It's always a pleasure for you to come on the show.
Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.